Hello there, our friends, Evolutionary Energy Arts family.
Why, hello there.
Hope everybody is doing awesome today.
Indeed we do, and Rama's asking how everyone's doing as well.
He's literally got his head in between ours, and he's got his nose right on the mic.
He does. His nose is... I really want to get him some reindeer ears and a Rudolph nose. That would be so cute.
Yeah, he's listening to every word, and he's thinking about what he's going to say, but what he's saying is kisses for me and his mom.
Yes.
So, as always, guys, thank you for your support over on Patreon. We couldn't do it without your support over there, and on Ko-Fi, where you could do a one-time donation or monthly support, just like on Patreon. So, a whole lot of shaking going on. We had a 7.0 now hit the Solomon Islands, and actually, there's been quite a few aftershocks, and this comes on the heels of that 5.6, which has claimed over 200 lives. You know, and then we also have one that we're going to talk about a little closer to home in the United States. Over in the Solomon Islands, initially, you did have a tsunami watch that was, issued. No tsunami of significance has hit, thankfully. But also, boy, there is a lot of shaking going on when we look at this globe. So, you know, right now you could see there's a big one over here, and this is what we're going to talk about next, 6.2. Now, this is off of Baja California, close to Las Brisas. As we see here, 6.2 magnitude quake strikes off Baja California. Again, no tsunami, thankfully. This one's at 10 kilometers depth, again, shallow. 6.2 is nothing to sneeze at. And it does get me concerned, you know, because, again, we're waiting before, before we get to 2025, I just got this feeling, this strong feeling, I've had it for quite a while, that we'll see major quakes in the U.S., and I would not be the least bit surprised if we had the big one in Cascadia and or the big one in San Andreas shortly following it, as well as potentially going all the way into the New Madrid. You know, before we go any farther too, we have a little unusual one here, 2.0 in Alabama, southeast of Birmingham. Just not something you see all the time. Every now and then you do. I remember we had right on the Alabama, Florida border, we had a series of quakes a couple years ago, and then a year before that series, there was another series of quakes over here. But there's air bases over here, so you never know what's going on beneath an air base. You know, the military installations, you just never know. But again, you know, it's just stuff to watch. Now, what we get with this is we do feel there's something else going on here. When you look at the heliplots, these things are active. Look at the heliplots. So, I mean, these are showing you unusual activity. This is in Barbuda, Barbados, Panama, Grenada. So these are all around the Caribbean and Gulf of Mexico, Turks and Caicos, Jamaica, Dominican Republic. But here's Beijing, China. Hubei Province, China. So we see these heliplots, Missouri, Antarctica, the whole globe seems to be shaking a lot. And we do want to thank Mama Jan. She's one of our strongest supporters out there, who was, you know, basically just giving us a nudge to say, check out the heliplots. Look what's happening. Yeah, there is absolutely. This is Kiev. And here's Hawaii. I mean, you're talking opposite points on the globe. Norway. Everywhere you look, there's a lot of seismic activity. Look at this place. Otavio and Ecuador. This thing's a blackout. As I say it, somebody drives by with their bass on real low.
I know, right?
It's like, what's that?
Yay.
Incoming! No. No, it's just a little incoming thumping.
Yes.
But look at Venezuela. It's almost totally, totally blacked out. Now, we've seen 7.0s before, and we've seen some seismic activity. But to see this all over the globe like this, you would have thought we had an 8.5 somewhere or a 9.0 somewhere. But what we do have is the 6.0 over here, and then we have the 7.0 over here, as we see. And you got 12 quakes right here in total. So you have the 7.0 and then we have 11 others. And we could see, you know, they're in the fours, they're in the fives, and you have 1.6 there as well. So what are you sensing with this, Miss Cindy? Mm-hmm. What are you sensing?
Well, when I asked what's going on, the first thing they told me it was CERN. CERN has something to do with this. So there's clashing of energies. Mother Earth is not appreciating the technical things that they're throwing out at her. She is reacting. But the other thing that this is doing, I thought was curious, is it's opening up more portals. It's opening up more portals for entities. So if anyone's out there is experiencing entity-like behavior in your home, burn some sage, because it's very common. It might increase. Definitely, it's more of an individualized basis. So this is really throwing the energy off in the 3D realm. So we all really need to get grounded and stay stable.
Yeah, absolutely. Grounding and rooting every day is a good thing, as well as detoxing, because again, yeah, you know, there's poisonous stuff around us every single day. Toxins everywhere, nasty vibrations everywhere. And also, you know, still, although it was curious, I actually saw a couple of items last time out shopping that that seemed to have gone down, which is something I haven't seen in the longest time. They seem to decrease by maybe, you know, 5%, because everything has been just climbing, climbing, climbing. And, you know, it's good, because, you know, sometimes things go out of stock, but they seem to come back. And, you know, on the whole, I think we are actually not as bad a shape as was anticipated. But it doesn't mean that there's not certain powers that be that are trying as hard as they can to manufacture that scenario.
Mm-hmm. There's definitely things to come, and we all still need to stay prepared and make sure you have backups to your backups, especially for those things that you really, really need on a day-to-day basis. Make a list of those things that are so important to you, you know, vitamins, medicines that you take every day, and have a little bit of a buffer on that, so it's not something that you just simply run out of. Because I definitely see some irritation coming along when it comes to things that are in transit, things that are shipping the mail, but it's not going to be permanent. It's just going to be, you know, a bit of an inconvenience, and we're going to get through it.
And here we have Australia's rail network paralyzed after train derailment. Flooding may cause even more supply chain chaos. Yeah, so this is just another one. 20 shipping containers piled on top of each other, as you can see. Yeah, how many times have we seen things like this? Constant. You know, how many fires have we seen? In all different things relating to, obviously, heating ourselves, energy, food, all the above. You know, it's just the basics. The basic things in life, the necessities in life are under attack. Mm-hmm.
Definitely have your staples. Have your staples backed up on, because I think in the future, what I see is a lot of neighbors working with neighbors to kind of borrow or trade or just kind of get by in a level that we never really have before. Some of the technology finally taking a step back and actually talking with your neighbors face to face, one on one. When humans get together and they talk and they share experiences, it actually raises our vibration. It releases chemicals and it makes us happy. And if you've noticed, what they have been doing is they've been finding more and more ways for humans to be separated. And that's because when we're together, our vibration rises up. So they have all these different ways to keep our vibrations low. So what we're looking at might be a little bit difficult, but believe me, it's going to be a blessing.
So ABC, when we're reporting on this, was blaming climate change. Of course, everything is climate change. Everything is getting ready for your carbon-based monetary system. You know, that's the thing that's getting hammered now. Before, it was, you know, the plague upon the land, and you know what, to comply. And they're still pushing that as well. And yet we still see more people exiting this reality that really shouldn't be. and every single day. And I don't think we've seen the peak of that yet. Dallas-Fort Worth sees the earliest ever snowfall on record. Federal disaster declared after unprecedented lake effect snow, which mainstream media claims is due to a warming climate, of course. You know, again, it's just, we understand, you know, carbon credits. We understand, doesn't matter how much money in the bank, you don't got your carbon credits, you're not getting whatever you want, you must comply. We get it. Again, we just got to work outside of the system and watch the system implode upon itself. That's the long-term thing that we have to do, is set ourselves up to be outside of this system. I saw where they were talking about regulations on all the wood burners that are going into manufacture. Somebody was saying it's like putting catalytic converters on wood burning stoves. Again, new regulations if you have a wood burning stove, you should get grandfathered in. Again, it depends on what country you're in. In the United States, it depends on, you know, what color state you're in too, as far as regulations. Coming from Connecticut, for instance, if you wanted to get a concealed carry permit or something, you know, you had to jump through hoops, and you go to the Carolinas, you know, it's just no big deal at all. And again, if you go to California, we remember California emissions on vehicles, totally, totally different. Well, you know, again, think of that California scenario worldwide. Better yet, think of that CCP scenario worldwide. That's ultimately what the goal is, and it's pretty obvious. I mean, it's all rolling out in front of us very clearly, totally according to the timeline that a great percentage of us totally expect. We know, we understand, we get it, and it doesn't take a genius to figure this out. And you know, yet I guess they just are banking on the fact that most people will not notice. Floods caused 6 deaths in Montenegro, Albania, Serbia. So wherever you look, whatever corner of the globe you go to, it's either flooding or, again, it's drought. It's extremes. And again, we've done it so many times where we've shown all those declassified weather control, weather modification, geoengineering permits. You could blame it on whatever you want. But again, we still have our own minds, at least some of us, under our own control.
Mm-hmm. And we need to keep that control.
UK's national grid sparks panic by warning of imminent blackouts, but then canceled the warning. They said that it was an automated alert that warned that due to tight capacity, homes could lose power about 7 o'clock tonight. The alert was later canceled, as the electricity firm told consumers there's enough power to keep the lights on tonight. Wow. Can you imagine? You get one of those nights that's going to be below freezing, and all of a sudden something comes on and says you're going to lose power. This is all too, yes, it is about creating loosh. It's creating fear. It's creating panic. It's trying to drive people to just go along with whatever gets rolled out. UK restaurants are growing bankrupt at faster rate than during the plague upon the land. Well, again, when you see a $600 electricity bill jump to $6,000, jump to $60,000, well, I can't expect that many people can absorb that for long.
No, it's just terrible.
It is. And again, it's taken away the choices so that ultimately everything economically is controlled by the state. All the shopping is in state-run places, federalized places. We've had federalization of banks. Some banks are too big to fail. Remember that whole thing? We got to bail them out, which means they take your tax dollars and they bail out these entities, which, you know, it's like taking, it's the reverse of Robin Hood. It's taking money from the poor, giving it to the rich, and then expecting the poor to keep giving. It's just insanity until the world wakes up and say that we've had enough.
We need to get there.
Ice age temperatures, precipitation reconstructed from earthworm granules. Earthworm granules, are they saying what I think they're saying? Well, new method for determining past climate data on land applied comparatively for the first time. Ice Age summers in Central Europe were at times warmer than previously known and drier than they expected. Hey, it's all because we really had to take a good close look at some earthworm granules. Now we know. Aha!
Well, it's just earth poop.
Last ice age, which peaked, that they say, about 25,000 years ago, well, again, what they thought was the temperatures were not really accurate. And, you know, it's all thanks to the earthworms. Thank you, earthworms, for leading us such a clear, a clear representation of what's going on there. Yeah, those earthworms have their way of telling us that the system is full of
poop.
As we can see, everything gets revised. This is the point. When we're paying attention to the science, what they tell us today is that the science that we told you yesterday to believe that this is the truth, and then now today we tell you it was wrong. Mm-hmm. This happens constantly. And we have Earth can regulate its own temperature over millennia. Well, of course, because Earth is a living thing. Just like a being, a body, you know, if you get sick, you might run a temperature in order to purge yourself of the nasties, things that are trying to take over your system, take advantage of your system. It's the same thing with the Earth. The Earth is still going to be here in 100 years, 1,000 years, 10,000 years. Well, be here in a sense that, yes, it's going to make it through this ascension process. And she's going to do what she wants because she can.
And the more we can blend, the better.
So scientists have confirmed that a stabilizing feedback on 100,000-year timescales keeps global temperatures in check. Lots of wild fluctuations, of course, as we talked about with the cycle of the yugas. Systems get hijacked, and a lot of things are done that are of a very malicious nature to the Earth itself. This system that's in place right now is really an atrocity. And it's intentionally poisoning the planet. Intentionally. Doesn't have to be that way. And it's not always that way. And the system is going to disappear from the planet as it has in times past. And then we will have a much better, more harmonious existence with the Earth and with each other.
Right. Well, there's not going to be any more compatibility at some point soon.
No, and that's the thing, you know, and so, you know, as we're going to look at this article about them saying that the first life in our solar system might have been on Mars. Little clues to the fact that, you know, Mars was once very, very lovely, had lots of life on it. It was a Garden of Eden, so to speak, you know, and it was basically trashed by the same beings that are trying to trash the Earth that originally trashed their own planet, which is more of a, it's more of a mothership now than a planet. And again, we've talked about Nibiru, and Nibiru again can't come really any closer than where it is, which is outside of the orbits of Uranus and Neptune. Because it has a propulsion system, which is actually a black hole. It's a black hole propulsion system. And again, Nibiru is large. It's larger than Earth. It's larger than Mars in size. It's a fourth density planet. You know, we're told that we have eight planets, and then we're told that we have nine. No, we don't have nine. We have eight. Well, there probably is a ninth out there. Well, the reality is... 39? Or I think we, was it 39 or 40?
We haven't set and counted them one by one yet.
But, you know, when you look at a lot of planets which are outside of our frequency rate, again, the visible light spectrum is really a narrow band. It's not all that there is. It's just what we can perceive. And most people are only perceiving with their two physical eyes. They're not engaging their pineal gland. They're not engaging the third eye. And in many people, it's not awakened at all, but it is awakening in many at the same time right now. And then you do have those that can see. There's always been intuitive psychics, clairvoyants, people with these abilities. And the governments, again, know, because we could look into studies where they have trained people to remote view. Remote viewing is a reality. It's a fact. It's a reality. And that's something that we all can do with training to a certain degree, but we all do it to a very high degree when we're outside of a dark age, such as the one that we're in now. You know, so again, it's kind of hilarious but understandable when you see comments where people say, well, I don't know about tarot and meditating and chakras. That all sounds like demonic to me. Oh, you're believing the words of the demons, you know, when you view things in that light. But again, it's just somebody that is still seeing the world with their blinders on, and they just are walking around clueless, as is still the vast majority of people. But we are awakening, and that awakening is going to have magnificent effects.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so many people that I know that we've worked on are really coming into their own when it comes to stepping into their abilities. They're like, these things happen, and they're like, oh wow, I don't know how that happened, but it just did, and it does. And when we just put out the effort and we put out the intention and we clean our temple, these things, they start to happen.
So when Mars was a young planet, it was bombarded by ice asteroids delivering water and organic molecules necessary for life to emerge. According to a professor behind a new study, this means first life in our solar system may have been on Mars. The reality is people don't have a clue, unfortunately. Well, the scientists don't have a clue as to really just how fast life can be created, just how amazing the process is. And the fact that life is abundant out there, it is abundant. It is the norm. It's not the exception. And Earth itself, from what we have gotten from the guides and from, you know, remote viewing, as well as Cindy going deep in trance and getting this information from different guides, different sources, the Earth was Tiamat. And Tiamat was a bigger planet than the Earth. And, you know, our original orbit was outside of Mars. Now we're inside of Mars. And Earth basically moved herself to this position. What? The Earth moved itself? You gotta be kidding. Tell me another one. No, yeah. I mean, it's a conscious entity. This is what you have to realize. Again, when we look at orbs, orbs are people.
You know, when we have the Earth being formed, and everything that happened with Tiamat, it went into this phase that I call super conscious. And things were formed almost immediately. And Source can absolutely do that. Source can put energies together so fast that, you know, I don't think we can really comprehend. But when it is needed, and there's energy that supports that, it can happen, does happen, has happened, and here we are.
Yeah, so again, as above, so below is, and as within, so without, is something that we can, you know, look at as a rule in the way things are. Again, it's a fractal universe that we find ourselves in. So, you know, you guys might be familiar with different sized stars, different shaped stars. When we look at planets, we look at moons, what do we keep seeing? We keep seeing something that is kind of roundish. And when we see, you know, the true soul, it just naturally takes that shape. It's just something that happens in nature. This is, again, you know, if you want to view it, and whenever people like just throw out there, we can't take you seriously, the world is flat. You know, you want to say something like, the only thing that's flat is your brain. But, you know, even that, we can't really say that because it's not really flat, even, you know, again, when it's not making any logical sense. When you look at orbs, spirits, we look at stars, again, basically round, right? And the vast difference in sizes. As you can see, you know, much, much different sizes. Again, they are beings, and they are beings that are supporting so much life. This is what happens as we are in service to others. We are gaining and drawing in the life force into ourselves. We are building our light bodies. And over the process of this for millennia, countless millennia, we become more and more, well, energetically powerful beings that are able to support life. And that's what it's all about. As we go up in vibration, we become more in service to others in many different ways. You know, so again, these stars, they're amazing beings. These are exceptional beings that are supporting so much life in their own way. Mm-hmm. And when we look to, that's, you know, again, that's it on a macrocosmic scale.
You know, you just look at our own cells. You know, our cells are in that spherical form, and not everything might be a perfect sphere, but it's pretty close. So we can take the as above, so below rule, and we can apply that to so many things. You know, if you look at a tree above ground and what's below ground, you have the roots below and the tree above, and they have a similar form. And you look at things in life, like the spherical, like a tomato, you know, like an apple, all of these things take on forms. And what's interesting when it comes to fruits and vegetables, many times they're in the shape of the organ that they help. So if you look at walnuts, they look like a brain. Well, if you eat walnuts, that is going to help heal your brain. And if you look at celery sticks, they look like bone, and celery sticks will help your bone. So many ways we can apply that.
Yeah, and as she's talking, I'm just getting so filled with love for her because she's reading my mind. I mean, maybe we just do this too much, you know, but I was thinking that. Think, you know, again, you want to know the truth of something, look to that basic statement, as above, so below. When you look at cells and cellular mitosis, this is what we have, you know, and when we're heading over into this phase, it's almost starting to look like a Taurus. And, you know, again, when we go without and we look at stars and galaxies and nebula is full of gases, of plasma, you know, and again, we can see all sorts of things. You know, a lot of what we find in the Vedas, in the Puranas, and in the Upanishads is just wisdom that has been brought down from the Golden Age, from the Silver Age, that we still have with us. You know, read again the Shiva Sutras, read the Yoga Sutras. The Upanishads are full of, you know, just real simple wisdom in a manner that anybody that enjoys the biblical tales, you would like that, because again, it's more like reading Proverbs, per se, or Psalms. There's just wisdom. But when we look at the spiral, you know, it's the spiral shape. And, you know, think about it and look at DNA and the DNA helix. Again, as above, so below. These are basic truths. So, and again, when also people bring up, you know, like we're talking about flat earth and stuff, and say, I don't, you know, like there was one comment said, you know, I don't know what sources you're reading. Well, I mean, the bottom line is, I've been out of body and looked back down, and this is what I've seen, you know, because when you astral project, you can see. Now, granted, we're looking at it from a 4D perspective, but, you know, it looks very, very much circular to me. And then again, with the Galactic Federation, as with many people that have had the abduction phenomenon, you know, we've been up in the benevolent craft. And again, you know, this ultimately is not our first home, and we know that. So, you know, again, we're just sharing the things that we know, as opposed to the things that we've read elsewhere. You know, I've done a lot of reading, but again, you know, I have, as we have said, there's no one system that has every answer. You're not going to ever find the correct dogma. Because again, you know, it's not really about dogma. It's not even about beliefs. It's about gnosis. It's about knowing experientially. What have you experienced? What do you know? Again, if you take what we've been given as kids and everything raised up, as you see two buddies here, you gotta have faith. Well, do you? Do you? I mean, I think you're better off having a sense of knowing. It's faith is implying that there's something that you don't know, and you're choosing that you want things to happen according to this certain, you know, belief set or a certain line of thinking. But knowing is something that you've experienced, and you can report back and say, well, you know, I went to Stonehenge. I don't know. I just... I don't buy the official story. Or you could say, You know, hey, I've scuba dived in the Bahamas. I've seen the Bimini Road. There's something there. That was something. Yeah, you know, because you've been there. You've experienced it firsthand. When we take stuff on faith, first we have to really start to dig down and say, should I have faith in this? You know, who is this that's telling me this? And then really do your investigation and meditate on it. Don't, you know, again, we've quoted the line that's attributed to Buddha. We don't know if he said this or not, but he's supposed to have said, don't trust anything because I tell you. Don't trust it because your teachers, your parents, you know, the political powers that be, any sort of person at all tells you something. You must weigh it with heart and also with your mind and see if it resonates and see if it is for the greater good. Is this something that will benefit me? Is this something that's going to make me a better person and the world a better place? If it's not, then let it go.
And I'm looking at this guy here thinking he's so adorable, and sometimes it's just good to work together. Absolutely good to work together. And then there's also times in our life where we might be a little bit bored, but if you just look close enough, there's always something to find fascination with.
Yes, there's always some way to keep yourself amused. Yes. You know, I mean, for me personally, I don't think it's possible to get bored. At least it's not really possible for myself to get bored because, you know, and Cindy will say something like sometimes like, well, you know, thank you for doing this for me or that for me. And I know you waited or you sat there so patiently or whatever. No, I'm just going to meditate. I'm going to draw energy in. I'm going to be productive with my time, even if that's just sitting still. And again, it's not the way I always was. I wouldn't have been that way 30 years ago, but now, yeah, you know, now I'm at that point. I don't think it's possible for myself to get bored. And just because there's so much of a world to explore within, and, you know, the sky's the limit. The sky is the limit. It's the same thing when people will bring up substances like ayahuasca and other things. Some of those things can lead to an altered state of mind, which can reassure you that you're much more than your body. At the same time, I don't think any of it's necessary. I do think you can achieve the same thing with hard work and diligence. But again, it is a TikTok world. It is a TikTok mentality. You know, I got 3 minutes. I got 30 seconds. What you gonna do for me? And in reality, you're talking discipline. And this world doesn't have a lot of discipline. It's just, it doesn't cultivate discipline. It doesn't want to cultivate discipline. Because, again, through acts of constructive work, we can achieve so much. And all they want to do is distract us. All they want to do is distract us. So, you know, Cindy and I, we're going back to the Stone Age. We had a little bit of that in New Mexico, and we really loved it. You know, where we were so disconnected, what were we doing? We're reading books and meditating by candlelight. As soon, when the lights went out, when the sun went down, the lights went out. We'd light a few candles in this, you know, rustic, beautiful little earthen cabin that we loved. We did, you know, it felt great. It really, really did. And we read, and we meditated, and maybe play a little bit of music, do mantras, things like that, just enjoy the dogs, and not turn on, you know, the tube that's provided by the powers that be, that is their dark superhighway, turning off the cell phones, turning off the smartphones, turning off the router, unplugging everything, just watching the stars at night. Seeing, and we love that in Nevada too. I mean, just going out there, having a campfire every night, sitting by the campfire and watching all the extraterrestrial ships go by.
And they are all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, you have to look though. It's just look up, look within. As always, guys, much love. God bless and namaste.
Namaste.